This is Perspectives, the show where an examination of our many differences often shows us how much we have in common. I'm Condice Presley. Did you know that nearly one in five people in our community each and every day struggle to put food on the table? Kind of makes some of us feel a little bit guilty about everything we ate at Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, and then the leftovers that we might have thrown away. Our guest in the studio today is Kyle Wade. He is the CEO of the Atlanta Community Food Bank, an organization here in our community that helps to meet the needs of those people who do indeed struggle with food emergencies each and every day. Kyle, nice to meet you. Welcome. Glad to have you come in and tell us the story about the food bank, because I know it, and I think I know it, and I think most of our community knows about the food bank and the great work that you all do, but you know, maybe they don't. So what's the food bank story?
Well, first, it's just a real pleasure to be here and to talk with you on in this special time of year when we're all thinking about family and about coming together and giving back. The food bank is one of the largest hunger relief organizations in the Southeast. We serve 29 counties in Metro Atlanta and North Georgia. In that geography, we support a network of 600 partner organizations. They're all independent nonprofit organizations. Many of them are faith-based groups based in churches or synagogues or other institutions. And through that network of great partners, we distribute about 70 million pounds of food every year, or the equivalent of 57 million meals, to some 750,000 people. So our story is really about how we are able to mobilize people to engage the community and to help them, empower them to really make a difference in the lives of people in need in their own communities and neighborhoods.
Where does the food bank get the food that it distributes to these partner organizations, these 57 million meals that you talk about?
Sure. So many people, when they think of food banks, they think of, you know, your classic food drive where you take some canned goods down and put them in a food drive barrel. And certainly that is a source of food for us, but it's a relatively small source.
Oh.
The vast majority of the food that we source comes from either large companies that are donating food from their supply chains. Those could be farms. They could be big distributors, grocery store chains. We also get a significant amount of food through publicly funded sources that are sourcing food from the agricultural community. And we buy some food. We buy about 10% of the food that we distribute. And that mix of food has really changed over the years. Back in 2008, before the recession, most of the food we were distributing were shelf-stable dry goods. About 86% of our food back then looked that way. Now, our largest product category is fresh produce. It amounts to about 20% of our total, and it has grown about 35 times what it was back in 2008. This year alone, we'll distribute 15 million pounds of produce to people in need.
The food that is distributed to the more than 600 faith-based groups, part of the partnerships, the co-ops that exist with the food bank, is that food given to them, or do they purchase that from you? How does that work?
So we don't charge the agencies that we support for the food per se. We charge a handling fee that really amounts to pennies per pound. It's about 5 cents per pound of food that we distribute is the fee that we charge our partners for the food that they get. That's on average. You know, it varies depending on the item and where it comes from, how long we've had it, and so forth. But fundamentally, it's about really covering some, not all, but some of our cost of providing the food, of the labor and the just operational expense that we have to incur in order to make that food available. But the food itself is free, and it is a great value for them. And then ultimately, the people who get it from those agencies They are not charged for the food that they receive.
I was reading that many of the clients, families who benefit through either the agency or directly from the food bank, my gosh, we have a lot of working families, people who are, you know, getting up and going to work every day who, as you say, still have that need.
It's really an important point. You know, I think many of us, when we think about hunger, you know, an image pops into our head of folks who are just kind of chronically in need of support. You know, maybe they don't, maybe they're homeless, maybe they are living permanently in some kind of shelter environment. But in reality, the vast majority of people we serve are actually working families. More than 60% have someone in the home working outside the home. And just at the end of the month, the income doesn't meet all of their basic needs all of the time. And then that's when they need some help. They need an outstretched hand to help them make it through those times where there's just not enough resources to provide the food they need for their families. I think that's been a significant shift since the recession, when so many people lost jobs, and then as they've gone back to work, they're working in jobs that pay them less or where they work fewer hours than they did back in 2008. And so because of that, more and more of the people in our community are really struggling to meet their basic needs every single month. And that's a real problem that we all have to reckon with.
Absolutely. And knowing that, how can those of us who are blessed with means be of a resource to the Atlanta Community Food Bank?
So there are a lot of ways to plug in. You know, start by going to our website, acfb.org, and you'll find information there about how you can certainly support us financially. We're one of the most cost-effective charitable organizations you're going to find. We just got, for the sixth year in a row, a 4-star rating from Charity Navigator, the nation's preeminent charity evaluator. And very few organizations get that rating for that many years in a row. So we're very proud of that, and we'll put your dollars to really good use. You can also, at our website, find out about how you can volunteer, how you can advocate, how you can get involved with some of our agency partners. There's just lots of ways that you can really make a difference in your community for those neighbors in need who are living right next to you.
What do you mean by advocate?
So there are ways that you can tell the story of our clients with the people in your community. You can become involved in advocacy efforts around how we're trying to raise issues when it's, you know, it's kind of a political season right now. There are certainly issues where it's important for lawmakers to understand the challenges that our clients are facing and why those challenges matter to all of us. And so there are ways for every citizen to raise their voice around those issues, and you can find out more about that at our website.
Because it's hard for me to believe that people can be against, and I'm going to pull up some of the statistics that we have here about food emergencies and our neighbors in need here in Georgia. More than 1 in 4 kids, 26.1% of Georgia children, struggle with hunger. 59% of your client households, as you said, report at least one employed person at some point in the last year, and yet they struggle to put food on the table. 82% of the households that your partner agencies serve have to choose between paying for food or being able to get to work or paying the power bill or paying the medical bills. So you're right. So what are the stories that people who want to advocate and have access and influence to lawmakers, the legislative session set to begin in January, what are some of the things that we need to tell them to support so that we can make a dent in these numbers?
Well, I think it's really important to tell real stories about real people, right? So when we think about, you know, someone in your community, I know I've met recently at one of our agencies, a single mom. Her name was Cindy. She's got a couple of kids. She's working. And just, you know, the income that she earns in the part-time jobs and multiple jobs that she works isn't enough to meet all of those basic needs. She's working her tail off, but it's just not enough. And she needs help getting access to better job opportunities. There are things we can do from a policy perspective around that, but telling that story is really important. And I think you asked a moment ago, why would someone object to this? I think it's really a question of framing, you know, what we're trying to talk about. When if we frame the issue as, man, we're running up huge deficits in our country and we've got to find ways to cut expenses, well, absolutely, that's a problem. But if we frame the issue as, how are we investing in our community? How are we investing in our people, the people who are our workers, the people who spend money to drive our economy? If that's the frame and we're thinking about how can we help more people have more bandwidth in their lives to build a stronger future for them and ultimately a stronger future for all of us, that's a very different frame. And that's, I think, the frame we're trying to create at the food bank for the conversation, and certainly where we need help from folks who really want to help tell that story to lawmakers.
So if we've got people listening who may know of somebody who might, quite honestly, I'll just be too proud to say, you know, I need some help. But somebody may know that that person needs some help. Through the site, is it possible to get a list at the various churches and other partner agencies where somebody can direct somebody to get the help that they need?
Absolutely. We have an agency locator where you can find out where all of our different food pantry partners are located in your local community. It's tied to zip codes, and it'll give you a number of options in your local community. And again, we serve a big geography in the metro region. And I think it's important for all of us in those moments to think about how we can really invest ourselves in our fellow neighbors, not just financially, but how we can invest our hearts and our time and reach out to folks. And I think we've all been through times where we've needed an outstretched hand to help us through times of difficulty. And I think it's easy to not want to be vulnerable in that way. But the more we can show compassion to others, I think it's easier then to ask for help.
In the work that you're doing, Kyle, what is it about meeting the needs of people suffering food emergencies every day in our community? What is it about that work that keeps you up at night? What is it that you want to make sure that you're able to accomplish in your tenure as the leader of the Atlanta Community Food Bank?
So, you know, I'm a dad, right? And I've got three kids that are pretty young. And, you know, they, without me and my wife, you know, they're not going to survive on their own. And so I think about the more than one in four kids who are living in homes where there's not enough food security, you know, for those kids. I remember when I first started at the food bank, visiting one of our partner organizations and seeing a dad there in the waiting room with his daughter, who at the time was about the same age as my oldest daughter. And she had a Dora the Explorer backpack on her. And at the time, my daughter had a similar type of backpack with a Dora the Explorer image on it. And just the pain and empathy I felt in that moment for that dad and the how he must have felt in not being able to meet the need for his daughter, that keeps me up at night. So in 10 years, you know, when as we pursue this strategic plan, you know, I want us to be able to say that there aren't any more kids out there who are unsure whether or not they're going to have food to eat. It's just unacceptable that that's where we are today, but it's achievable that it won't be there tomorrow.
That's a great goal to have. Is it still helpful for people listening, thinking, okay, I'm going to check out the website and maybe I can volunteer, but, you know, who want to default to something that they know they can do because I can have a food drive and we can collect some stuff and we can bring it to you guys. Is that something that's still of benefit to the food bank?
Sure it is. And, you know, I think it's important to note that because of our relationships with food distributors and suppliers, we can access that food more efficiently than you can going down to the store and even to the dollar store and buying.
I can buy a can for a dollar and you can still buy it for less than that.
We can probably buy quite a few more cans for that same dollar. That being said, some people, my mom is this way, just really like the experience of bringing their cans down to the food bank. And so, and we want to make that possible too. The great news is we have a way you can do both. You can do a food and fund drive. both to raise some food and to raise some money. And there's information on our website, kind of a toolkit on how you make that happen.
And what's that web address again?
It's acfb.org. That's acfb.org.
And if you want to just be a volunteer, do that same web address, /volunteer. Kyle Wade, CEO of the Atlanta Community Food Bank. You got a pretty big job. I don't envy you.
It's the opportunity of a lifetime, and it's a great humbling honor every day to show up and work to help connect our neighbors with the food they need to build the lives they imagine.
All right. Well, good luck to you. God bless. And let's hope that we can help raise some awareness and hopefully some funds during this season of giving.
Thank you so much for having me.
My guest right now is the actor Shamar Moore. Tell us about this movie opening this weekend.
Man, it's just a proud moment for me. I'm excited. I'm proud. We did it. It's my little baby, the little train that did. It's just a fun, feel-good movie, and it's perfect timing. The holidays and what's going on around the world and what's going around in the country. Let's all just take a little time out. Let's exhale and let's go to the movie theater and let's giggle and laugh and feel good. It's a love story with me and funny man Bill Bellamy and the beautiful and stunning and really, really talented Nadine Velasquez. I like to say that I stole it from Denzel Washington. She was in Flight with him, and so I stole Dee's girl, and she came over here to Shamar's world. But Michael Beach does me a solid and does a little part. Cheryl Underwood. It's about falling in love. The bounce back is about falling in love, going through heartbreak and love ache and falling out of love, and then having the courage and faith to fall back in love. It gives you hope. It gives you joy. It's really just a sweet, silly, fun, feel good movie for everybody. I don't care who you are, what color you are, how old you are, where you're from. This is something that's just gonna make you smile.
Fair to say the country is pretty much stressed out. We've been through a lot these last months recently. Again, you say a good time to just to get out and to get involved in somebody else's lives. Set the storyline for us.
My character's name is Matthew Taylor, and he's called like a love relationship guru. The word guru is a little extra for me, but he was married for 10 years. He was married for 10 years and loved as hard as he knew how to love. And his wife wakes up one day after 10 years of marriage and just simply decides that she's not in love with him anymore, doesn't love him as much as he loves her. And so what's interesting about this little love story is normally you get the female perspective in a love story, but you also get the male perspective. So he wakes up after 10 years, he's got a daughter. So I get to play a dad. So Shamar Moore gets to play a dad, which was really fun for me. And on Criminal Minds, you saw me get engaged, married, and have a kid all in about 3 episodes toward the end of my run, and it was quick, fast. But in this movie, you see me try to be the cool dad who always ends up being the corny dad, with a 13-year-old daughter. So basically, he writes a book and creates a philosophy to cover his pain, to avoid his pain, to keep himself from getting hurt again. Because no matter who you are, in a relationship, love is a beautiful, complicated, scary, crazy joyride, and it's hard to come by. But when you get burned, it's hard to get back out there. And that's what this movie is just having faith and courage that there is someone out there for you. There is those butterflies and that silly feeling of true love and somebody got your back and soulmate. So I write this book. I go off on a tour. Bill Bellamy, funny, crazy, he's my best friend and manager, and he was with me through all my through my marriage, and so now I've written this book, and he wants me to go to the top. So he wants me to be the number one selling book, and we go through the talk show circuit, and so my character really believes this philosophy that he's created because it's helped him, it's helped him move on, he thinks. But what he doesn't realize is he's only just put a Band-Aid on his hurt. He hasn't found closure. He hasn't gone through it so that he can move on. And then Nadine Velasquez comes along, and she plays a therapist, and her name's Kristen Peralta, and she basically calls BS on his philosophy. And so, but the catch is, even though they disagree, the talk show circuit thinks the two of them are more interesting together than just Matthew by himself. And so now Nadine gets injected into the situation, and Bill's character doesn't like it because he thinks she's messing up the whole vibe. Like, it's not about her, it's about us. We're trying to go to the top. And there's just all these antics and that go on. And, this movie is about love. It's about parenting. It's about friendship. And so you just see this, like, silly roller coaster ride of Nadine and Bill going head-to-head and knocking heads. And Bill doesn't want Nadine in the picture. Nadine, you know, doesn't care about Bill. She just wants to knock me down. And then all of a sudden we end up falling for each other. And it's really cute. I mean, there's really wonderful performances by, you know, so many different actors that come in. I mean, it's just we've got black folks in this movie, white folks in this movie, Indian folks in this movie. We got this Indian neighbor. We've got a Tarzan scene. We got a sex scene that just has an interesting, silly, funny twist. I mean, it's. Trust me, you're going to laugh, you're going to get teary-eyed, but it's going to be happy tears. You're going to connect to it, you're going to relate to it. And then when you leave the theater, you're just going to smile and go, that was a good time.
My guest right now is the actor Shamar Moore. You crushed the hearts of so many of your fans when you left Criminal Minds, but I'm hearing that part of the reason is because you're feeling a little pressure from some family folks to settle down and be more like the man your character wants to be in The Bounce Back.
My mother jokes all the time. She's like, you know, you better hurry up already. Can you stop practicing? You know, enough practicing already. You're doing it right on TV. You do it right in the movies. How come you can't do it right in real life? I'm going to be the oldest grandmother in the whole world. You know, what are we doing? So, Derek Morgan had himself a kid. I mean, even back on Young and Restless, I mean, we don't know who the father was, but my character, Malcolm Winters, you know, we don't know if Malcolm was the baby daddy or if the brother was the baby daddy. You know that, so that, you know that soap opera drama. So in real life, you know, I'm 46 years old, but I want the folks to know, the ladies to know, my baby girls to know, the world to know that, you know, I am excited to be a husband one day, and hopefully sooner than later. But I'm not going to force it. I'm not going to rush it. And I'm excited to be a daddy. I'm excited to have some little ones running around going, daddy, daddy, daddy. So I do believe that time is coming for me. I'm excited for that. It's just my grandmother always told me, and it sounds corny, but it's true. She always told me, don't go looking for it, baby. When it's right, when she's the right one, she's going to show up out of the blue, and she's going to bite you on the tush. So I'm just waiting to be a bit on the tush. I mean, so I can have that ride or die, that friend, that homie, that woman that waves her pom poms for me, and I put her up on a pedestal. And you know, it's going to be fun. I mean, I'm blessed. I'm blessed with everything, with the life that I have, with the career that I have. But, you know, nobody wants to live that life by themselves. And so, you know, my time's coming. I'm excited.
Well, you know, that is the only reason that your mother had you, was to get those grandbabies. So I guess you better get busy. The film is Bounce Back.
No, I have a responsibility. She's made that very clear. She made that very, very clear.
The film is The Bounce Back. The star Shamar Moore, you know, labor of love, passion in theaters this weekend. Final thought for our listeners that you want them to take away from the movie.
I just want them to know that this is a movie that really is just, it's just a feel good movie. It's just a simple, fun, feel good movie. I wish everybody a happy holidays, but I also want to know, this is my baby. I first time executive produced it. I paid for it with my fans, like all my fans, my homies, my fans, and my baby girls. And 2 years ago, when this was just an idea, just a script, I did a crowdfunding campaign and went the independent route. And my fans came together in just over a month, just a little over a month, and helped me raise $630,000, which is huge. I mean, that's such a pat on the back. That's such a hug from my fan base. But it also helps send a message to Hollywood that, you know, possibly the machine of Hollywood may not be considering content that there's a yearning for. So with the success of The Bounce Back, it opens the door for even greater content, more independent thinking, you know, more original ideas. So
we will see you there, and I know your fans are going to show up in support. Shamar, have a great holiday. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Donald. Take care of yourself.
Perspectives is a half hour we produce with you in mind. If there's something you think we ought to be talking about, let me hear from you. Tweet me, MyAndalusCondo29 on Twitter, or leave a message on our Facebook page. We do appreciate your listening and hope you'll be back next week at this same time as we examine another perspective.